Thank you, Hannah. Well, if you have your Bible this evening, turn with me to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. And we looked this morning at the first 10 verses. We saw the edict which was brought to King Darius, and he agreed to it. He proclaimed this to be the law of the land. And this law was unchangeable. Once it was put into motion, it was put into effect, it could not be revoked. And so it was an interesting thing because it was not Darius' idea. It was a plot by the princes and the other presidents. Daniel was one of three presidents who had rule. Each had rule over 40 of the princes. And Daniel had been found to be so good at what he did. He was such a he had such an excellent spirit, the Bible says, that Darius had decided to make him ruler over all. And the others didn't like this a bit. They were upset. They were angry about this, and they decided they needed to do something. But they decided they wanted it to be done by Darius and not by themselves, so they came up with this idea. The only way they could get at Daniel was through his faith. He was a strong believer in the Lord. Now, if you remember, we said we don't know what his age was when he came to Babylon, but he was probably a teenager. And so at this point in the story, he is probably in his 80s. He could be 90 years old. We don't know, you know, exactly. But regardless, he's rather advanced in age. And so, you know, partly just makes it more remarkable to me that here we have someone who starts well. You know, from the very beginning when we are introduced to Daniel, he starts well. He begins well. But now here we see him, you know, toward the end of his life and toward the end of his service to God, and he is continuing and he is finishing what he started. And I think that's something that we need, each one of us needs. You know, it's not enough that we start serving the Lord. It's not enough that we begin this thing. Let's finish it. Let's do everything God gives us to do until He calls us home to glory. I mean, when He tells us to have a seat and rest for a while, then let's rest. I had an old pastor who used to say, "I'd rather burn out than rust out." And I think some Baptists have just rusted out. You know, it's not through use and activity and becoming tired in the work. They've just given up and quit. And may that never be said of us. May we never quit. Amen. So, all right. So, you know, Daniel was old. He was very successful. He was extremely busy. He had a lot on his plate, but he still had time to pray. And when the plot came, it was in the form of this. Basically saying, let no one pray to anyone, to any man or to any god for 30 days, except to you, King Darius. And Darius, I think, probably took this as kind of a compliment to him and an honor to him, and said, "That sounds good. That sounds good." And he signed off on it. It became the law of the land. But then we're going to pick it up. We'll read verse 10. So if you found your place, Daniel chapter 6, let's begin in verse 10. We're standing in honor of the reading of God's holy word. "Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is, that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for the story of Daniel. I pray tonight that you would cause it, Lord, to come alive in our hearts and minds. And Lord, I pray you would build within us an understanding of your power, and of your greatness, of your majesty, of your glory, of the wonder of who you are. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we will know that we are never alone, because you are with us no matter where we are, no matter what is happening. And so, Father, we thank you for this. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, what a great story. You know, the neat part about this is that, you know, I've heard this story, and some of you have, all your life. You know, heard this story from Sunday school and and Bible story books and you know, all the way up through my life, I've heard the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And it was, you know, we had one of those when I was a little boy. We had in our church, a little church I went to, we had a big Bible at the front. I think we still got one around here that we have at times out here. But, you know, and it had pictures. Now, we didn't have a lot of Bible picture books or story books at that time. And, you know, at our house now, we've got a whole shelf, you know, of nothing but children's Bible stories, books and Bibles. And, you know, it's great. I mean, it's awesome. It's good. But, or at least it's good as they're getting used. That's good. But, you know, I love to go and look at those pictures. And there was a picture of David and Goliath. And I would just stare at those pictures. And there was a picture of Daniel in the lion's den. And I would just look at that and I would think about that. Well, the neat part about it is that, Tom, it hadn't changed. The story hasn't changed. God, you know, as we read it tonight, God still delivers this man who trusted in Him, who believed in Him. And what it does is it helps us to understand that God is able to deliver us. God is able to save us from the mouths of the lions. God is able to deliver us. Now, you know, we know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their testimony was, O King Nebuchadnezzar, if God is willing, He can certainly save us from your fiery furnace. But even if He doesn't, we're not going to bow down to your statue. We're not going to worship your God. And I think the realization for us is that no matter what happens, we're going to walk with God. We're going to serve God. We're going to do what God has called us to do. And He's able to rescue us, but even if He doesn't, that's not the important thing. It really doesn't matter. Because if you're a child of God, and God puts us in the fire, or God puts us with the lions, and does not see fit to rescue us, what happens? Our body can be destroyed. But our soul and our spirit will move right on to heaven. We'll be with the Lord from then on. Say, well, that's some comfort. Well, I mean, it's great comfort. But I'm not looking forward to, you know, experiencing something like that. I'll be honest. I really don't want to go through, you know, something like that. But the worst case scenario for a Christian is really not a worst case at all. It's a best case because what does the Bible say? Paul said we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Okay? We've already won the battle. And we have victory. We need to walk in it. We need to live in victory. We need to know that our God is able. He is mighty. Well, let's walk through this story and just pick out a couple of key elements here. That verse 11 tells us that when the men who were plotting against Daniel, they came and they found Daniel praying. Well, it wasn't hard because Daniel had his window open. We talked about this morning. Looking toward Jerusalem, he was down on his knees praying. He was doing this three times a day, just like he did every day. You know, we make a big deal about having three meals a day. Right? Okay, some of you have three meals a day, I think. Yeah, okay. Emma says yes. All right, okay. So, I don't know about you, I'm pretty religious about that. I mean, I'm just, it's like, you know, not quite like clockwork, but almost, because, you know, I get up in the morning, I want to eat. And then not very long, and I want to eat again. And okay, you get the story. Well, if that's true of our physical bodies, that we need that sustenance, not just once a day, not just once a week, not just now and then or occasionally, but we need to be sustained and strengthened and nurtured and built up and fed consistently throughout our day, three times a day. Well, then if that's true, and of course we won't even get into, you know, all the snacks between meals and all those, you know, kinds of things that they go on. But if that's true, don't we also need to feed our soul and our spirit? And of course, part of that is through the Word of God. We need to be in the Word, but a part of that's in prayer. And I want to encourage you in your praying, in your prayer life. You know, we're going to see later on in the prophetic section of Daniel, we're going to see the emphasis upon prayer that Daniel had. And he was a strong believer in prayer. I want to encourage you. We live in a time when prayer is desperately needed. I don't mean just, you know, when it's convenient. I don't mean just when we, you know, have time. I mean, we need to be praying. We need to be praying. You know, this attack that has occurred over in France this weekend is a strong reminder to us that we are engaged in a battle. And it's not primarily a military battle. It is a spiritual battle. And our enemy is not flesh and blood. It's not Al-Qaeda. It's not ISIS. It's not, you know, any of those organizations or those peoples. Those are not our enemy. The enemy that we have is the enemy of satanic opposition that faces us. Revealed in the heavenly realms. Principalities and powers and rulers. Spiritual forces of wickedness. And folks, you think that's not real. Let me tell you, it is real. And when you read what ISIS said about these attacks, they keep referencing the Crusades. They keep referencing the cross. They keep talking about, and they put an emphasis upon the cross in this attack upon Paris. And I want to tell you, it is a spiritual battle. It's not just a military. Yes, there's a military component here. And the free peoples of the world are going to have to defend themselves. But our ultimate aim and our ultimate hope as Christians, as believers, is not that our enemies be killed and destroyed, but that they be saved, they be converted, they be changed, they become new people. The gospel is the answer for that problem. Well, we need to be praying. I mean, I think that's the key to that whole battle. And what if God's people began to cry out to Him and pray? What if that began to really grip our hearts? What if we took it, you know, not just the situation with international terrorism and all those kinds of things, but what if we brought it home to Branch and to Ratcliffe and Coxville and Charleston and Paris and Lavaca and Subiaco and all this whole area that we live in day by day by day, and we work here, and what if our hearts got so gripped by the Lord that we began to cry out for the mercy of God and the power of God to fall upon our churches and our pastors and our communities that we live in, our neighborhoods? Well, I just believe God could do a great work, could completely turn around this culture that we live in. Could redeem this culture. Well, folks, there's a need. There was a need in Daniel's day. We looked this morning at why he prayed there at his window, why he prayed toward Jerusalem. We looked at all that. Won't go through that again, but let me just say to you, we need to begin to seriously, regularly pray to the Lord and ask God to do a great work. Well, the men came and they found Daniel praying. There was no question about it. He wasn't hiding. He wasn't trying to do this in secret. It was right out there in front of everybody to see, and they caught him in the act. He was caught red-handed praying. And isn't it interesting? In many places in our country today, you can go in and you can use all kinds of language. You can use various kinds of obscenities and profanities. You can say almost anything. Now, when I was in school, that didn't happen. Well, it happened, but there was penalties. Not very often. It might happen secretly, you know, but it didn't happen openly. Well, I'm going to tell you today, pray is a four-letter word in our society. And we need to understand that when they attack prayer, they're attacking God. They are coming not just for Christians or for, you know, to put a damper on what we think or feel or what we do, but they're attacking the Word of God and they're attacking God Himself. Well, they came to attack Daniel, and immediately they went to the king. And the Bible just tells us, they go to King Darius and, "Have you not signed a decree? Did you not make this into a law?" And, you know, I don't know what Darius's thought was initially regarding this law, this decree. It could be a lot of things, but I don't think he saw this one coming. I think this one just came kind of out of left field and hit him, and he said, "Yes, I did sign this law. It is a done deal. It is established. It cannot be changed. It cannot be revoked." They continue. Verse 13. "That Daniel, one of the children of the captivity of Judah." I mean, they refer to Daniel in a very disparaging way. They refer to him in a very mocking way. Because Daniel is one of the three highest authorities in the land. They're not showing him any respect whatsoever. They are attacking him, putting him down. One of the children of captivity out of Judah says, "Regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree, but maketh his petition three times a day." He's still praying. And immediately, Darius said, "Oh, now I understand. Now I understand why you brought me this piece of legislation. Now I understand what it was you were about." And notice what it says here, verse 14. "Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself." He was upset about this. And not just with those men, but he was upset that they had been able to sucker him into doing this thing and being a part of this. And notice it says he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. You know, once again, we see the evidence of God's favor resting on Daniel. God just blessed Daniel all the way through. I mean, what does it say? What did James T. used to quote to us from Matthew 6:33? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Well, folks, from day one, when we are introduced to Daniel, he begins to seek the Lord. He begins to honor the Lord. He begins to live for the Lord in everything he does. It was in his food. I mean, you know, let's talk about, you know, getting extreme. He wasn't going to eat the king's food because he didn't want to defile himself. And so he lived on vegetables and water. God blessed him. He got fat on vegetables and water. Well, I don't mean fat, but healthy. There you go. He was healthy. Well, they still tell us it's healthy. I haven't quite bought into that yet. But I'm trying to eat my veggies, okay? You need to eat your veggies. But, look. All the way through this thing, Daniel had resolved. He had purposed in his heart. He said, "I am going to honor the Lord absolutely. Even though I'm in this strange place, I've been brought from my homeland. I'm in captivity. I'm a captive. I'm held here. I don't have freedom of my own. I can't do what I want." And he could have been sulking. He could have been pouting. He could have been mad. He could have been angry. He could have had all these things going on in his heart. But instead he said, I'm here. This is where God has me. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to put Him first. I'm going to seek Him first over everything else and then let everything just fall into place as it will. However God wants to do it, that's fine. And that's what he did. And man, I admire Daniel for the stand that he took, for what things that he did that God just kept blessing and blessing. And we see it again here because God has given him favor. Not just with Nebuchadnezzar, because he had a great relationship with Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, you remember when God was going to cause Nebuchadnezzar to lose the kingdom for a while. And was going to send him out to eat grass in the field like a cow. And Daniel just flat out spoke to him and said, look, you need to change your ways. Maybe God will relent. If you repent of your sin, break off your sin, quit doing this stuff, maybe God will have mercy and He won't do this thing to you. I mean, that speaks to me of a relationship. Not just, you know, because here he is serving the king, but he's speaking boldly to the king. Now, another king, King Darius, and he says, he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. I mean, Darius set out and he said, okay, we've got to find a way to rescue Daniel from this mess that we put him into. Because he knew that Daniel had not been disloyal to him. He knew that even though Daniel had been praying, he was not disloyal to the king or to the kingdom. And so he set out to try to rescue him. He did everything possible. He hunted, you know, he found or tried to find any loophole, any way he could do something that would get him out of this. All day long he spent doing this. And I'm sure he exhausted every possible thing that he could do. But at the end, notice, verse 15. It says that he had labored till the going down of the sun. Verse 15, then the men assembled unto the king. It's coming on evening. And they said to the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is... I mean, they are reminding the king. I've got a feeling that there was some intense feeling building up in King Darius right here. Because he was being manipulated and he was being used. Well, the king had no choice. Now this is one of the differences between Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold, and Darius, the chest of silver. An inferior kingdom. A lesser kingdom. And he has less rule, less power, less ability to change this situation. In fact, he cannot change the situation. Well, he has no choice, so he sends for Daniel, has him arrested. Daniel is brought and he is cast into the den of lions. Now, the den of lions was probably a cave or something like it, with probably a stone at the top and maybe a stone on the side somewhere that could be used as an entrance when needed. But Daniel was brought, a 90-year-old man. We're talking about here, is brought and is cast into the den of lions. Now, when Darius did this, notice in verse 16, he spoke to Daniel and he said, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now, I don't know if he really believed that or not. You know, we've been talking about faith in our Sunday school class, and I'm not sure that he was really believing God. I mean, with, you know, maybe mentally he was, maybe it was emotion. Maybe he was saying, oh, I hope God delivers you. I hope your God is able to deliver you and will deliver you. I don't believe he, because I think what we see here in a moment kind of clues us into the fact that maybe he wasn't truly believing in God at this point. But regardless, I mean, it's a great statement. It's you know, pointing us to the fact that he had great respect for Daniel's God. Well, a stone was brought, verse 17, and laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet. They would take clay and they would cover the where the stone met the wall or whatever it was. And they would put a clay covering on that, and then the imprint of the ring, the royal ring, indicating the seal of the king. And that was not to be broken. It was not to be tampered with. And then they put the seal of all of his lords on there, so that it was clearly established that the sentence upon Daniel was carried out in its fullness, in its completion. It absolutely was done what had to be done. So they put Daniel into the lion's den. Now, we don't know. I've got a feeling that some of those men who were trying to destroy Daniel, I've got a feeling some of them were down there with their ear listening, trying intently to hear, to see what was going to happen, to see if they could hear the crunch of bones, the screams of agony. But nothing. Notice then, verse 18, then the king went to his palace. And notice his response here. And passed the night fasting. I mean, this is the king. This is the king. He ate the very finest of foods. He had the greatest and best of everything. Whatever he wanted, he could have. Whatever was available that, you know, in that time, he could have. But everything they brought to him, he said, no, get it out of here. I don't want anything. They offered entertainment. No doubt they had music. No doubt they had people who would come, you know, maybe and entertain perform. He said, no, get them out. I don't want anything. I don't want any of that stuff. And he spent the night fasting. And it says his sleep went from him. He spent a long, weary, hard night because he was so wrought up with what had happened. Because he knew the kind of man that he had just put into a den of lions. Well, notice verse 19. And before we go into that, let me just mention, you know, it's kind of reminiscent when we read that. They set the stone in place. They sealed it. What does that remind you of? The tomb. Very reminiscent of the tomb of Jesus. They took his body down off the cross and they laid it in that garden tomb and they rolled a stone. And the next day, it wasn't that day, but the next day, the Pharisees went to Pilate and said, now, he said after 3 days he would rise again. We want you to make sure that doesn't, you know, that nothing like that happens. And so they put guard on the tomb. They put a seal. You know, they did the exact same thing that was done here with Daniel. And so the early church, in fact, wrote about this. Some of the members of the early church said, you know, this really points us to the tomb of Jesus. Well, another similarity. Then the king arose very early in the morning, just like Mary and Salome and all those other women who got up early in the morning while it was still dark and went to the tomb. Well, here the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste. I mean, I think we can kind of get a sense of his feeling here. He was all in on this thing. He was concerned. I don't know what he thought he would find when he got there, but I think he was hopeful. He was hoping that somehow Daniel would still be alive. But he went in haste, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. He cried with this grieved voice, with this pained voice. And that's what leads me to believe that he cried out, but he wasn't maybe really expecting an answer from within. I think he was crying out, but it was a cry of lament. It was a cry of sorrow. It was a cry of the worst case scenario. Well, He came and he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. The king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest, continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Well, now I don't know. You know, the king had spent a sleepless night. But I've got a feeling that Daniel rested well. I've got a feeling that Daniel slept well, Brother Wayne. In fact, I don't know. I mean, you know, this is purely conjecture on my part. Nothing about this. But I'm just wondering if maybe when they moved the stone and the king began calling out, I'm wondering if they didn't wake Daniel up. Woke him up out of his... You know, I don't know. We'll, maybe one of these days we can sit down with Daniel and say, oh, we'd love to hear the whole story. Start at the beginning and tell everything because we got plenty of time. Okay? Let's just go ahead and, you know, I've got a lot of appointments in heaven. And I know, you know, I can't even remember them all now because I've made appointments with a lot of people in heaven. But after we all get there, okay, whenever that may be, I mean, let a little time go by. You know, let it be a month after we all get there, okay? And then we'll reserve a, you know, a room or something, or we'll go down by the river of life and we'll invite Daniel and maybe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't know. We'll just, you know, whoever we can get that day, we'll just invite them to come and spend a day. Maybe we'll have a big picnic or something down there by the river of life and by the trees, you know, all there. And it's going to be awesome. But we'll just have them tell the story. How would that be? That'd be awesome. Well, I don't know if that's going to be possible, but we can ask. It doesn't hurt to ask, does it? Well, sometimes it might, but hopefully not. Well, anyway, so Daniel, whether he was already awake or you know, he may have been laid back with his head on one of those lions, you know, just as a pillow. I don't know. That'd be pretty soft and, you know, kind of keep you warm too. But anyway, then said Daniel unto the king, verse 21, O king, live forever. Daniel answered him with the greatest civility and respect, with honor. Daniel could have said, oh, it's you. You're the one put me in here. You know, Daniel could have responded a lot of ways, but he didn't. O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. What an amazing answer to the question. My God has sent his angel. Now we don't know. Here's another part of the story. We don't know. We know when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego ended up in the fiery furnace. We know that there were four in the furnace, right? And one, they were all loose and walking around, but one, Nebuchadnezzar said, looked like the Son of God. And many people believe that was the Lord Jesus Christ in that fiery furnace with those young men. And I wouldn't doubt it at all, but that this is the Lord Jesus Christ who comes in a pre-incarnate form, and he shuts the lions' mouths. And he's there in that place with Daniel. I mean, in the darkest, deepest moment of despair in your life, when everything seems to be going against you, when nothing seems to be working, and everything is difficult, and everything is hard, and nothing is right, I want to just say to you, if you are a child of God, you're not alone. You're never alone. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will be with you. And it doesn't matter what happens. He will be with you. He will be with you through it all. So I just want to encourage you tonight, because I think sometimes we kind of lose sight of Him. We kind of lose sight, but He never loses sight of us. You ever lose your kids in the grocery store or somewhere, you know? You look up and suddenly they're not there. I mean, they're just gone. We lose sight of them. Well, you know, we lose sight of the Lord sometimes, but He never loses sight of us. He's always there. He's always right there. So, Daniel replies, God has answered. God has done this. My God. My God. And folks, that's why it's so important to have a relationship with Christ. That's why it's so important to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. It's because in those moments of fear and trouble and darkness and pain or whatever comes, it's so important to be able to say, my God. It's so important to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Not just a shepherd. Not just, you know, talk about the Lord in general terms. But to have a relationship. To have a relationship. Well, he said, they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency was found. He said, I haven't broken any of God's laws. And he said, also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they take him up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den and no manner of hurt was found upon him. You know, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they didn't have any burn marks. They didn't have any even a smell of smoke. And Daniel had not a scratch on him. Well, you know, on one hand, we can just nod and say, yeah, that's great. But oh, listen. In the darkest, deepest moment of trouble in our life, we need to know that our God is able to deliver us. Because He is. And so this builds my faith. This helps me to know that God is able. And look at this. It says, no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Because he believed. He trusted the Lord. You know, Daniel is not mentioned by name in the roll call of faith, Hebrews 11. Doesn't really reference Daniel. But in verse 33, in verse 32, he says, What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Well, you know, we know Samson stopped the mouth of a lion. We know David stopped the mouth of a lion. But Daniel did it without killing one. He was a true lion tamer. Well, the Lord was. But He used Daniel. And because the lions weren't the enemy. The lions were not the enemy. And his faith in God, That was it. That was the thing that carried him through. So, we see a little dose here of Persian justice. This is recorded in secular history as a practice that was done by the Persians. And it's a very cruel thing. But King Darius had all those men who had accused Daniel and who had plotted against him. He had all those men brought. And he had all their children brought. And all their wives brought. And they were all thrown into that den of lions. It's a horrible thing. It's an awful thing. Because the Bible tells us that before they hit the bottom of that thing, the lions were on them, breaking their bones to pieces. You know, it's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing when we raise our hand against God's anointed one. And boy, they paid an enormous price here. Well, the end of the chapter just it closes with Darius. And Darius gives a great decree. And just notice a couple things here. Verse 25, he sends this decree to all the peoples. Verse 26, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. How remarkable is it that in Daniel's life and in his ministry, because that's what he had, he was able to impact kings. He had an influence. He had such power that he literally influenced kings. And we don't know if we will see Nebuchadnezzar or Darius in heaven, but it's possible. It's possible that these men, just based on some of the things they said, that they came to actually know the God of Daniel and have a relationship with Him. Well, He is the living God and steadfast forever. And His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and His dominion shall be even to the end. He delivers and rescues, and He works signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Well, what a wonderful, wonderful thought. Let me just read some words to you. This was written by Martin Luther, probably 500 years ago. I don't even know exactly when he lived. One of you historians can help me out there. Let me listen to these words. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, He, amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not His equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing, were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name. From age to age, the same. And He must win the battle. And though this world, with devils filled, should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for Him. His rage we can endure, for lo, His doom is sure. One little word shall fell Him. That word, above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through Him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindreds go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Now, Daniel lived in interesting times. We live in interesting times too. But the same God that Daniel served is the same God we serve. The same God who delivered in that time is able to deliver today. The same God who was able to meet needs then is able to meet our needs today. I want to encourage you tonight to trust Him, to believe Him. Not to believe the lies of the devil, because our mortal enemy, the prince of darkness grim, he will seek to lie and to deceive you and to destroy you. But our God is greater. Our God is so much greater. He has all power. Nothing is too hard for Him. So tonight, I want you to pick out the area of your life that right now, for you, it is the most difficult thing in your life, the hardest thing in your life, the darkest thing in your life, the scariest thing in your life. whatever that might be. I want to encourage you right now to pick that out, identify that one thing, that one area, that one thought that just paralyzes you, that grips you. And let's take it to Jesus right now. Let's bow. Whatever that may be in your heart, I want to encourage you right now to take it to the Lord. To just go before Him, directly to the throne of grace and say, "Oh God, I need You. Lord, I need Your help." And Father, this is the thing that's on my heart tonight, God. It may be a family member. It may be a physical need. Might be financial. It could be something you're scared of. It could be something, a sin that's just attacking you and you're in bondage to it, literally. There could be a lot of ways that the enemy has gained a stronghold in your life, in your mind. The enemy has gained ground. It could be through gambling, through pornography. It could be through some other kind of an attitude of bitterness or anger or hatred. Or it could be anything. It could be unbelief. It could be pride. It could be rebellion. Whatever it is, lay it before the Lord Jesus and say, "Oh God, You were with Daniel. Lord, You stopped the mouths of lions. God, You're able to stop the mouth of this roaring lion who seeks to devour me, who's lying to me, who's filling my life with his garbage. God, I need You tonight to set me free. I need You tonight to be with me. And to help me." Tell Him. Whatever's in your heart, take this moment. And if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, I want to invite you to go directly to the One who's able to save your soul, to set you free, and simply call on His name. Repent of your sin. Turn from that. Turn to Jesus and trust Him with your life. Heavenly Father, Lord, hear us. God, we need You tonight. We need You. Lord, speak to our hearts. Call us near to Yourself. Lord, reveal Yourself to us. We need You, Lord. God, meet the deepest need of our heart tonight, I pray.